Jim and Rose. When James Joseph Devlin was born October 22, 1882, in San Francisco, his parents, Edward and Ellen, lived on the top of Potrero Hill overlooking the bay. At the bottom of the bay were the busy Southern Pacific Railroad yards. As a child, Jim watched the moving trains and made his own sardine can train set. At age 12, Jim, with friends, explored the neighborhood. They enjoyed a ride on a slow freight train, and after paddling their slower raft out a short distance into the bay waters, they jumped into the bay for a swim. A few neighborhood bullies once tried to dominate Jim and his friends. Jim never allowed anyone to push him around. Jim defended himself and his friends with his own fists and Irish temper. Tall and strong, hitting fast and hard with clenched fists and long arms, Jim kept his opponents at a distance and became the champion of the neighborhood. He was a tough fighter. Jim's friends thought he might become a professional boxing champion and gave him a sporting nickname, the White Hope. When Jim's mother, Ellen, died, he took care of his brother and sisters while his father worked. At 16, Jim began to work for Southern Pacific Railroad as an office clerk. After a few years, he quit the office job to become a brakeman and also worked as a fireman, stoking the train's engine and switching freight cars. He had to be agile in getting on and off trains in motion and to keep his balance walking on top of moving freight cars. His wife, Rose, encouraged him to take the conductor's examination, which he passed. For the remainder of his 60 years of railroad service, he enjoyed being a train conductor responsible for long freight trains or socializing with passengers as he collected their fares. At a St. Rose's Catholic Church dance, Jim met his future bride, Rose Miller. She was the daughter of Nana, already mentioned, who had changed the name Mueller to Miller. After a six-month engagement, Rose and Jim married and made their home in San Francisco. Occasionally, Rose told her young children episodes of their father's life. While they were living in San Luis Obispo for a short time, Jim, on his day off from work, enjoyed the ocean and swam with the friendly porpoises around him. Years later, the Devlin family visited their McKenzie friends in San Luis Obispo, and the children enjoyed the farm life and animals. When they weren't messing up the hay in the barn, jumping from the indoor rafters, they were being chased by the bull, which they teased in the field. Since Jim had railroad seniority, he had the choice of higher-paying freight or passenger jobs. As the number one conductor, he brought the first daylight train to San Francisco and took the last luxury Lark train out of the city. Home from work, Jim often entertained his family with stories about work, from train collisions to simple passenger conversations with people like Alfred Hitchcock, or tales about the traveling homeless called hobos. Sometimes there were train accidents to report, and occasionally, the Southern Pacific sent Jim letters of commendation for his handling of emergencies. At home, he had time to rest, read the papers, sit in the sun, and enjoy his wife's cooking. He worked in the backyard and encouraged the children to do a little gardening or to give the family dog its weekly bath, as the family always had a dog. Once, Jim was cutting wood in the basement and almost lost a finger as the electric saw blade cut into it. He wrapped his finger and held it together until the doctor stitched the wound to keep the finger in place. Whether picking up his very young daughter, Anne Marie, to listen to his railroad watch, or taking Anthony and Paul to fish, or Ray to ride the cab of the train engine, or the family for a picnic, Jim enjoyed being with his family. When Jim was the Suntan Special train conductor, he brought the family to Santa Cruz for a day at the ocean. Here, Jim swam beyond the waves and fell asleep as he floated on the water before the train ride home. Joe, in talking about his father, always praised him and admired his 60 years of railroad service. Joe was proud of his dad's humility, never seeking praise for being a good husband and excellent father. Jim was satisfied to know that his children obeyed their mother, did well at school, and were happy warriors. Jim never raised a hand to discipline his children. He told them to obey their mother. Good humor existed between Jim and Rose, even in small things, like Rose giving Jim the overextended prayer book's examination of conscience as he prepared to make his confession in church. During one particular Christmas season, Jim, with his two priest sons, celebrated with all the family members. He missed his wife, who had died earlier, but he was happy with his family. He attended Mass and received communion at his sons' Masses at St. Ignatius Church, while his sons were residing at home. Early on the morning that the priests were scheduled to depart, one to Ogden, Utah, and the other to San Jose, California, Jim called his sons. He told them he was having a heart attack and asked them to call an ambulance. The sons talked with their dad, and Joe left with him in the ambulance. On the way to the hospital, Jim died a happy death. His work was finished, and he would be with his wife, Rose. If Jim's heart attack had occurred a few hours later, he would have been alone. Under the circumstances, providentially, it was God's blessing. Rose Miller was born in San Francisco on April 18, 1887. 9 years later, on her birthday at 5:13 a.m., an 8.2 magnitude earthquake shook San Francisco and woke Rose. She heard people shouting, "Fire!" and the sound of running footsteps. She quickly dressed and ran out the front door. When she did not see her mother outside, she re-entered the burning building. A man noticed her return into the house. He ran after her and made her leave. On the outside, Rose found her mother. They watched along with the rest of the city. They walked to the Mission Dolores Park, where the Red Cross provided tent shelters and donated food. For a few weeks, they lived like refugees, not having a home, possessions, or life provisions. Their trust in God and in the goodness of the American people rescued them. In later years, Rose passed on many interesting earthquake memories to her children. Nana managed to obtain a new home, and Rose attended the Immaculate Conception School. Rose loved the teaching sisters and thought about becoming a sister. Instead, at the age of 12, Rose became a telephone operator and then a supervisor over other operators. She was advised by her employer that, in order to appear older, she should wear her hair down. Rose Miller, in marrying James J. Devlin, had a new life vocation as a wife and a mother of six children. From her mother, Rose had learned the value of education, and she sought the best schools for her children. All of them became university graduates. After doing her work at home while her children were at school, Rose enjoyed gardening, photography, shopping, and, especially, phone conversations with friends. Sometimes, Rose's neighbors would visit, or the Sisters of the Blessed Virgin Mary, called BVM for short, on their walk to the public library, stopped to enjoy a cup of tea and conversation. While her mother, Nana, was alive, Rose often hired a taxicab in order to visit her mother to help with household tasks or to bring medicine. When her husband, Jim, worked at night, Rose, upon retiring, said her rosary or read The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Sometimes, her children noticed that she fell asleep in the middle of her rosary. Rose had a reputation of helping others, and one example shows her thoughtfulness. During World War II, Rose prayed for the servicemen in Europe as her son, Anthony, was one of them in France, moving toward Berlin. While riding in a city bus with her daughter, Anne-Marie, Rose noticed a lone soldier riding the bus and spoke to him. She asked the soldier if he had any place to go for the coming Thanksgiving holiday. When he responded, "No," Rose invited the soldier to come to her home and bring a few soldier friends with him for a Thanksgiving dinner. The soldier gladly accepted the invitation and, with three soldier friends, also away from their homes, enjoyed a Thanksgiving dinner day just as if they had been in their own homes. This incident recalls the beau geste of the United States Army and Navy as they provided Friar Joe, Rose's son, with Thanksgiving Day dinners in Vietnam. It seemed like a providential quid pro quo, demonstrating how good deeds often return to the giver of good deeds.